Today's scripture is from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. This is what I'm reading as out of the International Children's Bible, and it's captioned as God Calls Jeremiah. The Lord spoke these words to me. Before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for special work. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Then I said, but Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a boy. But the Lord said to me, don't say I'm only a boy. You must go everywhere that I send you. You must say everything I tell you to say. Don't be afraid of anyone, because I am with you. I will protect you, says the Lord. Then the Lord reached out with his hand and touched my mouth. And he said to me, I am putting my words in your mouth. Today I have put you in charge of nations and kingdoms. You will pull up and tear down, destroy and overthrow. You will build my plant. Thus are the words of the Lord.
Our scripture reading for today is taken from Luke 5, the first 11 verses. If you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of those boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked all night long but have got nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon saw, he fell down to Jesus' knees saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinner, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people. When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, it's been an interesting morning, hasn't it? Pastor Neil, thank you for your words. And I was kind of worried that this bird on the branch was going to dive down and eat the ant, but a friend in need is a friend indeed. We could use that always and everywhere. Thank you, new members, for coming on board. Nicole, it's about time we got you fully branded and fully hooked in here. Arthur, we tried to bring in last fall. Doug, glad to have you aboard, my friend. He walked up and he has that deep voice. And I immediately say, do you sing in the choir? And Don just about fainted when he heard him, so a nice deep voice. What a motley crew coming on as new members. You'll fit right in with the rest of this motley crew that is Burns Memorial. Amen? What is the definition of motley? Varied, different, multicolored, multi-everything. And we are that. And I am proud of that. I had a pastor friend, retired, who helped occasionally with services in Johnstown. And he claimed that at one point in time in his congregation, he had persons from every continent on earth attending at one time. I said, okay, but I'll take our diversity over his any day. You motley crew, I love you all. We reflect God's diversity, and that's a good thing. Membership. Now that we've got you signed on as members, we should tell you what that includes. There are different things that you've got to be about there. Membership is special, and it's an important service. We haven't had a lot of those. This is the third, maybe, that I've had since I've been with you. And they're a good thing. They're about life and growing and expanding and reaching out in Christ. And we are about that. And intriguingly, they are not sacraments. We don't always talk about the technical things in church, but do you know what a sacrament is? You see, we are a sacramental people. And in our denomination, and most Protestant denominations, there are two sacraments, baptism and communion. At one point, the Roman Catholic Church had like 40. Everything you did was a sacrament, and you had to go to the church to have it enacted. And it was their way of being in control. And that is not the church it is today. So we don't want to vindicate their, say ill of the Roman Catholic Church today, because they have become a good missional body. But we decided that sacraments would be those things that Jesus participated in. He was baptized in the Jordan. You remember? How many of you remember the story? He went down, John was baptizing people left and right. And he went down and John said, you are the Lord, I know better. I can't baptize you, brother. You got to baptize me. I don't know if he had that accent or not. Jesus said, let us do this for now to fulfill all righteousness. And so he was baptized in the Jordan. The sacrament of communion. Jesus enacted that. He was present. He held the bread. He held the juice and offered it. So those are the only two that are sacraments. Those are the only two things that I can do that you cannot. Clergy must officiate. Pastor Neo can officiate within this body, within the Tongan congregation, within the Burns Memorial congregation, with special permission from our bishop. But the rest of you, and the only reason for that is we want to make sure it doesn't get too far out of hand and people begin to modify it. I had a youth leader come up to me one day. She said, oh, we're having communion in youth group today. You should come on down. We're having pizza and pop. I said, you're not having communion unless I'm there. And her eyes got kind of big. She didn't realize. She thought communion is what you did. It's just kind of a get-together sort of a party thing. And it isn't. It's more than that. But membership is not a sacrament. Isn't that an interesting thing? It used to be that membership was a sacrament. Ordination was a sacrament. Marriage was a sacrament. But they are not. They are special. They are important. And membership especially is exciting. But we had a baptism this morning. Thanks, Kelly, for helping us get that through there and celebrating your baptism. And by the way, drying you with the stole, that's what the stole was. That the clergy wore a towel, and the towel was to dry the babies after they baptized them. That's where the stole comes from. Right now it's kind of silk and slickery and all that, so it's not quite designed for the same absorbent qualities that it might have been in that time. History and fullness. But that water, did you hear the prayer? It wasn't on the screen, but Mark read a prayer while I poured the water. We couldn't hear it as well. I should have had a microphone there so you could hear the water filling the basin. Hearing that flowing live water filling the basin. God has worked through water through history. Think about it. In the beginning, there was chaos.
Kind of sounds like today.
There was chaos and disorder, and nothing was as it should have been. And God separated the heavens from the earth and created a firmament separate from the sea. So out of the waters, there was creation. And then it got a little crosswise, and humanity got kind of out of whack. And God says, I'm disappointed. And so came the flood, the uncreation. Except for a remnant of humanity who was faithful, who had followed God, and who carried on. And he saved them in the ark. The waters. After that, he wanted to reassure the people. I mean, we'd be a little worried if we were all waiting for a flood every day. And he cast the rainbow in the sky. Do you know that rainbows are caused by water? I am told that in the air, if you're flying and you see a rainbow, it's a full circle. Anybody attest to that? Is that true? Okay. Some of you pilots probably know that. But without the earth to break the circle, we see the full diffraction. I digress. What about the Red Sea? The Egyptians had enslaved the people. And God sent Moses, set my people free. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and there were the plagues, and there was all of those things. And finally Pharaoh said, let go. After the angel of death passed over the people and killed all of the firstborn, but passed over those faithful ones, Pharaoh said, you are free to go. And they depart, and they are leaving, and Pharaoh changes his mind and begins to pursue them with his armies. It is not a good situation. They're being trapped now between the army and the waters. And the waters are parted for them to pass safely through. The Red Sea opens and allows them safe passage on dry land, it said. But Pharaoh's armies pursue, and the waters mire the wheels of their chariots and drown them. Waters. Waters. And perhaps the one set of waters that I mentioned already that's most exciting, the waters of Jesus' baptism. You can imagine John, he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. You can imagine him being a little intimidated. It would be like me if I'm getting ready to preach and the bishop walked in and sat down. I love the bishop and I'm not too worried. I think we'd be on the same page. But you understand, it's that sense of, oh my goodness. You see, the bishop can bish. Are you familiar? Clergy know this term a little bit better, but you call up a friend and say, how are you doing? He said, well, I'm moving. I'm moving from where the bishop called and the bishop bished, and I am being moved. I serve at the discretion of my bishop. If she says tomorrow that I am going to be serving in Last Chance, Colorado, there is a church, Last Chance, a great little church out on the Eastern Plains. She can send me, and I will go. It's kind of like that hymn we sang, here I am, Lord. Who shall I call? And we as clergy have vowed that we will go where the bishop sends us. So it is. But the waters of Jesus' baptism, he was baptized physically down in that water, down in the Jordan, and people who travel to that area will bottle up a little bottle and bring it back. Kind of murky. But do you realize now, just thinking again about science, that the molecules that caressed over our Lord's body, those same molecules have dispersed over 2,000 years, and some of them were present in this water of baptism. They are all dispersed around the world, and so a piece of that connection is everywhere. Did you notice we didn't baptize Nicole? I offered that as an option for her. She was baptized as a baby. Where were you guys when she was baptized as a baby? You said you came here when she was one. Colleen? In Keensburg? Okay. Keensburg. Isn't that the town with so many people and a few sore heads? Isn't that, they have a wood, it's a wonderful little sign that says, what, 150, welcome to Keensburg, 150 wonderful people and five sore heads. Something.
just a delightful community. I've served in Johnstown, not far from.
But Keensburg, so you were baptized in Keensburg. Do you remember the pastor's name? You don't have to. Colleen's thinking about it. You know how somebody asks you a question out of the blue like that, which is totally unfair, and I apologize for doing that. But she was baptized, and we trust that that pastor did his due or her due diligence. And so she was baptized. Do you remember it, Nicole?
You were un poco, little.
I don't think you'd have fit in my arm today anyway. I don't know.
But you see, what about maybe we needed to renew that? We cannot. We are prohibited. You cannot rebaptize because, you see, what happened here, you saw me going through the motions. You heard Mark read. You saw the elements and the words. And all. But what happened was God's work on Kelly Mack. God baptized Kelly. We simply acknowledge it in our humble human way. And the mark of that baptism for Nicole 19 years ago, somewhere in that range, it is an indelible sacrament, and it is as dark and vivid as the day she was baptized. Through our spiritual eyes, we can see that and know that, and it is alive and vital. What God does doesn't wear out.
You were baptized moments ago in God's eyes. And that baptism is real and intense. New members made a vow. It was kind of nice to hear that. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And they said, we will. We accept that duty. I'm glad they're going to go out and do that for us, aren't you? You realize that Mark had us all stand up afterwards and remember that we have vowed the same. So we join together in that task. It's an overwhelming job. It's one that we can't possibly do, but God can do through us. What we are unable to do, God is able to do. If we will turn to and listen and follow. But you know, it's unsettling. It's unsettling to try and do it. God is going to work through me? Are you kidding? It's like Isaiah. Do you remember? Last week we read the scripture. Isaiah is there and God says to him, I'm going to make you a prophet. And Isaiah said, we're in deep trouble because I live amongst a bad bunch of people and I'm a bad person. He says it differently. He says, woe is me, for I am a people of unclean lips and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. That's us, isn't it? That's humanity. And God doesn't dispute that. But God sends an agent, an angel, a creature that takes a live coal and symbolically purifies Isaiah's mouth. I have cleansed you to do my work. Jeremiah today, it was the same story. He says, I'm just a kid. I'm just a pup. I don't know how to speak or do anything. What words can I share? I'm just learning. And God puts his hand over his mouth and says, I have filled your mouth with my words. You will speak as I direct you. That's all of us. We'll be in situations we can't be prepared for, we can't study for, we can't have it all memorized. And we'll be called upon to be the faithful people we're called to be, and we don't want to say, and yet God will direct us on what to say. It will come from our hearts within. All of God's people. Paul, the great Paul of the all of the epistles, Paul of Tarsus, he persecuted Christians. He was an evil, nasty, hateful man. He was present at the stoning of Stephen, we believe. Held the jackets of those who stoned Stephen to death. And celebrated the event. And God called him. How could God use such a vile person? Because God can purify, can change, and can bring out the love that God has within us. Simon Peter, you heard him today. They're cleaning their nets. It's been a lousy day fishing. You ever had a bad day fishing? Doesn't have to do anything with fish. Maybe it was just one of those days from minute to minute, and you got done at the end of the day and said, I did not catch any fish today. My nets are empty. And that's what Simon is saying. He says, Lord, we've been out all night. We've been slaving and working, and we didn't bring home anything. But at God's direction through Christ, Christ says, put out in the deep and put down your nets again. When Christ is a part of that work, and maybe he's talking about the ministry that will come as Simon Peter begins the church. They've been trying to gather acolytes. It hasn't been working and nothing's happening right. And now all of a sudden, with God in the middle of it, guiding it, directing it, inspiring, all of a sudden, they put down the nets and there are so many fish, the boats are sinking. They call the neighborhood boats, help us, we're drowning over here. Come over and get some of these fish. And there were so many, they're foundering. And Jesus falls to his knees and said, Lord, I am a sinful man. I didn't believe you. I didn't trust you. I didn't pursue what I should have pursued. And Simon Peter becomes the first pope. He becomes the leader of the body. How can any of us be worthy? We are not. No more than Simon or Jeremiah or Isaiah or Paul. How can any of us do God's work? Because God is in the midst of that, where God makes us worthy when we will open our hearts and open our minds and welcome God in. I was going to put this on the screen and didn't, so I'm just going to read it. And I'm going to ask you this question. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. Do you? We do. Here am I. Perfect hymn choice, Don. And we're going to sing another one. Where You Lead Me. Shall we? Amen.